yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Like never before. If we have ever needed you, it's now. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Give us illumination to appreciate the times and the seasons we live in. Let the embargoes be lifted. We destroy the veil of the enemy cast on us. We destroy spells. We destroy bewitchments. We arrest seducing spirits, lying spirit. We rebuke the whisperings of the whisperer. We silence the voice of the accuser. We dismiss and discredit any voice contending with our voice on the political scene, on the media scene, on the financial scene, on the religious scene. Be silenced. Be discredited. In the name of Jesus, we override all enemies, visible or invisible, foreign and within. In the name of Jesus, we override divineness. We override enchantments. We override and negate divination, incantations, sorceress, familiar spirits. In the name of Jesus, we override the kingdoms of the underworld and of the powers of the dark kingdom. We bring them down. We deny the enemy. We strip him. We command the enemy within our walls. Stand down. Stand down. Stand down. Relinquish your powers. Relinquish your weapons. We proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. It's about President Trump coming into office for such a time like this. And I want you to listen to me. For God to allow a man of President Trump's caliber, who is not a politician and don't speak political language and is not politically correct and just says it as it is and don't follow any protocol, is a sign of a new era. I'm telling you. And two, it will make sense. It will make sense to anyone. And it's the beginning. It's the beginning of the great tribulation. And I'll tell you why as we go on. When I heard about the possibility of moving the capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I said, okay, Lord, we have to start watching the clock. I never thought it would happen in my day. And that thought and imagination could not have even happened in the days of Barack Obama, because they are too politically correct. It has to take a man like Donald Trump, who has nothing to lose, to even think about that. Because the implications are heavy. And there are three prophecies that is not yet fulfilled. And one of them is the capital moving to Jerusalem. Number two is the temple rebuild after that. And number three, the gospel preaching all nations. Now, I am not speaking from a political perspective because I'm not a politician. And I'm not speaking as the world speaks. Our language is two different languages. And our rock is not their rock. And our ways are not their ways. And our thoughts are not their thoughts. They think differently from us. We are in this world, but we are not of the world. My assignment is to equip you and prepare you to understand the times and the seasons we live in. It is believed by some school of thought that the major next event on planet Earth will be the rapture. The next major event on the planet, apart from wars and rumors of wars, confusions and unrest, and all the things that are coming, one major event that will happen, which is the next major event because of the number 5777, which is the Hebrew calendar of 2017. 2017 on the Hebrew calendar is 5777. And this 777 happens in every 1,000 years. For the first time, it is 5777. The 5, for the first time, is the number of grace. We are living in prophetic times. Ladies and gentlemen, pray for me that the Spirit of God will grant me divine fortitude to help you appreciate the times we live in and to prepare you for the end times. Pray for me right now. Just pray. I know I'm telling you that. Just pray for me. Let's pray for me. Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers. Please be seated. I'll be counting on it. Please be seated. Lift up your right hand and say, I will not die prematurely. See, I will not be a victim of any evil work. I will not be a victim of demonic predictions. I will not be a victim of the predictions of diviners, sorcerers, and those who practice divination, enchantment, and incantations. I will not be a casualty nor a victim. Amen. I'm going to say some things today, and on Wednesday, I'm going to be teaching on the 7 eternal rewards for every believer. That is on Wednesday. I think that it's important for us to start talking about signs of the end times. One of the strategies of the enemy is to deceive us and to silence us. And when you start talking about these things, there are projections that, oh, what is going on? Is he going to die? Is he preparing for his death? I ain't preparing for any death. I'm going nowhere yet. Tell somebody, I'm not dying yet. So I want to make that statement before your mind starts going all over the place. I ain't going anywhere. I veto that thought. I override it. But the truth is that we have to say some things to get the church ready. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter and the 32nd verse. 1 Chronicles 12 and 32.
And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment.
It is important in the times we live in because there is so much divinations and so much deception. You have so many sorcerers and so many diviners who have become prophets and are working miracles and are doing great things and are pulling crowd and commanding money and people and great followers, even strange teachers, not just strange prophets, false prophets alone, false teachers who are teaching things that are not true. And they have great followers and they have serious money and they are doing things. And the Bible said that if the times are not cut short, even the elect will be deceived. So we are living in very interesting times. And the enemy wants us to talk on prosperity, money, breakthrough, success, everything but the coming of the Lord. He wants us to be ignorant of the times we live in and of the signs of the end time. And we can't afford to be ignorant because ignorance is a luxury. We can't afford it. And maintenance of ignorance is the advantage of the adversary. So we can't be ignorant. We need to be enlightened. The Bible says, of the sons of Issachar, who were men that had understanding. Tell somebody, have understanding. We cannot be ignorant of the times. I want to be talking about setting crowns. Crowns of the believer. There are crowns in heaven that every believer must seek to attain and to have. And please understand, this is the title of my message, Living with Eternity in Mind. Living with eternity in mind. The Bible said that the coming of the Lord will be like in the days of Noah and like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was those days? Business as usual. They were marrying, building houses, purchasing lands, everything that man's does was happening. There was business as usual. They were buying, they were selling. They were drinking, they were partying, they were having a good time, and they were making deals. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't build houses. You have to build houses. And I'm not saying you shouldn't buy your dream cars. If you can afford it, buy it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go on cruise or you shouldn't go on vacation. Go on vacation. Enjoy yourself. Do all that. But do all that with eternity in mind. Never forget. Tell somebody, we are on transit. And please understand that you and I are on transit. This is not our final destination. If you are going to China and your final destination is China, you can stay in Dubai for a few days, but that is not your final destination. And you don't live in Dubai as if that is your final destination, because it's not. And my assignment is to equip you and bring you to the awareness and understanding that you and I are on transit, and this is not our final destiny. So let us not forget ourselves. And let us not allow the success and the beauty of where we are in transit. You see, sometimes you can be in transit in a place and you go to town and you love the place and you like the place, you admire everything there, but you can't stay there because it is not your final destination. And a lot of believers are living in the times we live in as if this is our final destination, but it's not. We came from somewhere. We are here for a reason, and we shall return, and we will give an account of what we did here with the life, the resources, and the time that was given to us. Enemy have succeeded to bewitch us and make us forget why we are here. And we are living carelessly and walking aimlessly. But we need to live soberly, watchfully. We need to live with understanding that even if we live 100 years or 1,000 years, this is not our final destination. And we came here for a reason, for such a time like this. And each one of us will account to God. No matter how successful you become in this world, and the houses you build, and the dreams cars you drive, and how much money you had, and children you gave birth to, you will answer when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ what you did with the life that was given unto you. And it doesn't matter how successful you become and how much the world hails you, celebrates you, and the accolades you got and the recognition and how relevant you became in this world, how outstanding. If you did not fulfill the reason for which you were born and for which life was given to you, you are divinely disappointed. Come with me. Let me show you some things. Turn your Bibles with me, please. To 1 John 3:3. 1 John 3:3.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
You know, a young man came to see me some few months ago and said, Papa, I'm struggling with my flesh. And I said, we all do. And he said, but how do you master the cravings and the longings of the flesh? And after meditating for a while, the Lord said to me, he said, son, the only key to deal with the flesh and the cravings, the desires and the longings of the flesh is the hope of my coming. That if you lose sight of the hope of my coming, you will not be able to master your flesh and the longings of the flesh. And the Bible said, Everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Let me break it down for everybody here, including myself. Hear me carefully. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. So we have a passport as citizens. But it's not enough to have a passport. Going to heaven or making the rapture, ladies and gentlemen, is not automatic. It's not automatic because you are a Christian. The Bible says, let everyone work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. A lot will miss the rapture. You know, I saw, they forwarded me a text from a very outstanding preacher in Nigeria. I don't want to mention his name. And he said he had a vision. And in the vision, the rapture had taken place. And he did not make it. And a lot of men of God didn't make it. So he started explaining and warning people about the rapture. I don't believe because he saw that doesn't mean he won't make it. If he prepares himself, he will make it. But I think that God was giving him a message that the rapture is not automatic. So having a passport as a citizen of the kingdom does not guarantee you heaven. What guarantees you is a ticket, and that ticket is purity. So whatever we have done before today, let's call it days of ignorance, which God overlooks. But henceforth, let us all strive and go forward and purify ourselves, even as he is pure, so that nobody miss that flight, because it is only one flight. And I'll show you later what happens to those who miss the rapture. You can't miss it. Because if you miss the rapture, within the 7 years that the church and the Holy Ghost is out of here, in those days of the great tribulation, you will only make it to heaven by being beheaded. Because if you don't take the mark of the Antichrist, you'll be beheaded. We'll get into all that later. That's why you can't afford to miss the rapture. And the rapture is different from the second coming. It's two different things. The world will still be here after the rapture. And the world will be here during the great tribulation. And the world will be here when we come back after the 7 years to reign with Jesus on the earth for 1,000 years, where Satan will be bound into the bottomless pit by one archangel. And after the 1,000 years, Satan will be released for a season to tempt the whole world again. And that will happen before the final resurrection of all the dead. So these are things we want to start going in. It is important that you are taught and that you have understanding. See, I hear you. All right, come with me to 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 14. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid.
There is no other foundation. Go ahead.
Which is Jesus Christ.
The foundation upon which we build churches is not gifts. See, one of the things that is happening in this end time, people are building churches based on a prophetic gift, based on an anointing or a charisma or a teaching gift or a miracle gift or a healing gift. No, you don't establish a church based on a gift you have, and you don't follow pastors or prophets or apostles or evangelists or bishops or archbishops. No church is built on a revelation of an archbishop or a gift of a prophet or a prophetess or an apostle or a teacher. Every church must be built on the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And there's so much deception going on, and people are following people everywhere by wings of doctrines, and they are following people because of their giftings. I know people many years ago who attended some churches of prophets, some old prophets in the days when Church of Pentecost began. And these prophets were very powerful to the point where they speak to trees and they speak to leaves, and the leaves spoke back to them. And these members of their churches were so connected to these prophets that they wouldn't follow the word of God. But these prophets, to the point that when the prophets died, they still followed them when they were dead and had to be communicate with the dead spirits of the prophets. And I had some of them attending Action. They came to Action. And for whatever reason, They wanted to treat me like they treated those their prophets. And I said, no, you can't do that. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Absent in the flesh, present with the Lord. If he leaves his body and he's a true believer, he's with Jesus. If he wasn't a true believer, he goes to hell to wait for the final resurrection. You must never come to a place where your faith is in a prophet, or your faith is in an archbishop, or your faith is in a pastor, or a teacher, or a bishop. Your faith must not be in me. It must be in Christ Jesus. Where everything is built around a man, we are in trouble. If you were doing the 21 days, this place was packed, but I wasn't here because I am not Jesus and I am not God. And you came not because of Archbishop. You came because of Jesus. You came because of the Word of God. That is how we build a church. We build a church around the Word of God, and we build it around Jesus Christ and not around a man. Go ahead.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious
stones. Even if we build on the foundation of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, we still have to be careful what we build with. And what we are building with is our motives and the reason for which we give. We give tithe, we give first fruits, we give offering, we serve God. God is going to judge everything we did for God. Will be tested by fire. Go ahead.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Mm-hmm. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Mm-hmm. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Mm-hmm. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Mm-hmm. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
It's very clear. Every man's work, my work, your work, this work, how I did this work, whether I did it with the right motive or the wrong motive, whether I did it because of money or I did it for relevance, for recognition, whether those who are building churches are doing it to compete with others, whether they are doing it for relevance or for money, or they are doing it for some kind of recognition, for a breakthrough or for a name, all that will be tested by fire. And after our works have been tested, we ourselves, we will be tested by fire, which is our salvation, will go through fire. So this thing is a very serious thing, you know? And especially those of you who just get up and you follow everybody, and those of you who have plans to build your own church because you have money. There are business people, as soon as they get money, no, they think they can start a church because they can even employ a pastor. And I know people like that who have employed pastors and paid them to run a church for them because they have money. Yeah, they pay a pastor, they employ a pastor, give him a car, buy him a house, pay him, and say, start a church and run the church, and I am the general overseer. You answer to me. And pastors, called by God, are running churches for businessmen and women because they've come into money. All those things will be tested by fire. And your motive for which you did it will be tested by fire. Even your own salvation will go through fire. So this thing where people say, once saved, forever saved, you are joking. You can lose your salvation. Your name can be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. I will show it all to you. It's right in there. You can lose your salvation. You can go to hell. And these are things nobody wants to talk about, but I will talk about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11.
Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
You see, this judgment seat of Christ is not for unbelievers. So. This judgment seat of Christ, he's not talking about unbelievers and believers. This is just for believers. The judgment seat of Christ is just for believers. You and I, we will appear there. And we are not going to be, we are not appearing there to be judged or to be cast into hell, but to give an account for whatever we did with time, with life, with money, and our body. We'll give an account. Whether good or bad, we shall give an account of it. So there is nothing that is not going on record. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to be sober. It's time to stop all this arrogance and pride, unforgiveness, haughtiness, and living like the world. We are not like the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. It's time to start living right. It's time to live with eternity in mind, that one day, it doesn't matter how many churches you attend and you change, or who you serve under, none of us are greater than Christ. All of us, including me, we will stand before that judgment seat of Christ, and we shall give an account to the master. Hey, church, there is a boss. My Jesus, I love you. I know that I for thee. Thessalonians chapter 4, the 13 to the 17 verse, 1 Thessalonians.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren.
That is the key. That is what I'm attempting to do. That I will not have you to be ignorant. Church, that is the only reason why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. That you and I will not be ignorant of the times and season we live in. For we are living in prophetic times. And the Bible said that Noah preached righteousness for 120 years and nobody believed him until the day he entered the ark with his family. And the Lord shut the door of the ark with his own hand. And after that, the flood began, or it began to rain. Sodom and Gomorrah never believed that judgment was coming until Lot, his wife and children, escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah. Then came fire and brimstone. And I know that is the same sign. It will be like in the days of Noah and like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that people will not believe that the rapture is coming. But I'm telling you, the signs are very clear. It shall come, and it is coming. And it's not for every believer. It's those who love his appearance and those who prepare for that flight. It's not automatic. And after the flight has taken off, many believers will come to themselves and will believe, but they will only make it in the great tribulation by being beheaded. That's the only way. There's no other way. Go ahead, please.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming
please
of the Lord.
Please underline the word alive and remain. Tell somebody you must remain. You see, it's not just enough to be alive. But those who are alive and remain in Christ and remain in the church. Because there will be many that will be alive and will not remain. Because of offense. Because of hurts, unforgiveness. The enemy will throw everything at us. So you might be alive to the coming of the Lord. But if you don't remain in Christ and you don't remain in the church, you might not make it. Go ahead.
that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Mm-hmm. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
You see, this particular coming is different from the second coming. This coming, he will be in the air. He won't step on Mount Olive. The second coming with 10,000 and more of his saints is the one that the Bible said he will stand upon the Mount of Olive where he went up. He will be back in this same manner and stand on the Mount of Olive, but not the rapture. The rapture, he's just coming for the church and for the Holy Ghost to leave the scene, for the Antichrist to reveal himself, and for the great tribulation to begin. So his assignment is come. Take the church, take the Holy Ghost out of the way. Let the great tribulation begin and let the world suffer. For 3.5 years, there will be peace by the Antichrist. And the next 3.5 years, there will be great sufferings like the world have never known it before. But the church won't be here. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. No. Before then. James 1 12. James chapter 1 verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Is the man that endureth temptation.
For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life.
There is a crown of life that is given to those who overcome or endure temptation. And church, you'll be tempted. We'll be tempted. Your faith will be tested. Your love for God will be tested. Your commitment to God and his house will be tested. Everything about you and I will be tested. But the Bible said those who endure, or those who overcome temptation, shall be given the crown of what?
Life.
A crown of what?
Life.
So there is a crown of life, but it's not for everybody. It's for those who endure temptation. So those who don't endure temptation will not receive the crown of life. I know some of you believe you go to heaven and you don't care whether you receive a crown of God, a crown of anything. You just want to be in heaven. Don't fool yourself. When you get there, you will see the necessity and the need of the crown of life. When you see others wearing their crowns, you will wish you had one. And as we go on, I will show you why you need a crown. Because we will reign. We will reign in this life. We will control nations. People don't understand heaven. Heaven is not like a one big place. Heaven is a place with many nations within. And when we come back for 1,000 years to reign on this earth, some will control different nations. Jesus will be in Jerusalem. And every year we will all go there to worship. And upon that city and nations that will not go, there shall be no rain. We'll gather, you see. I used to teach all these things 30 years ago. We need to get back to the basics so we don't just live anyway anyhow. Go ahead.
Which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
You see, so this crown of life is for those who endure temptation, number one. And number two, those who love him. That means your love for God will be tested. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. Neither had entered the hearts of those men the things that God has prepared for those who love. Hear me? That scripture is not just about breakthroughs here. It's not about material things here. Your dream car, having a good house, it's all great. And you can even have a private jet and 310 private jet. It doesn't bother me. As long as you have eternity in mind, I don't care. Have everything you want. But that scripture is not talking about material things here. It's talking about things that God has prepared for those who love him hereafter. And there is no blessing. There is no blessing you and I will obtain or get in this life that can be compared to the things that God has prepared for us hereafter. Somebody put your hands together. Shout yes. But the key here is loving God no matter what. I hear people say that all things shall work together for my good. All things shall work together for my good. All things shall work together for my good. It's not true. All things don't work together for your good. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So our love for God will be tested. Goodness. You talk about our love for God being tested. My love for God is tested every day. And every day I have to make up my mind and to be determined to overcome and to endure trials. If I have my way, I will do some things, but the love of God restraineth me. If I have my way, I will live some kind of life, but I can't because of the love of God. And the Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or famine or persecution or peril? He said, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are carried to the slaughter as sheep. Nay, in all these things, we are more than a conqueror. Through him who loved us and gave himself unto us. And I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor depths, nor height, nor things present, nor things to come, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody, put your hands together, shout yes. You know, we talk about, I love God, I love God, I love God. But you have to prove it. Tell somebody, if you love God, you prove it. Look at Psalm 119 verse 165. Great peace have they that love your law. Nothing. You call yourself a believer. You say you love God and you can't forgive your brother. You can't conquer offense. Great peace have they that love your word. Nothing means nothing. I don't care what it is. The Bible says nothing. And that settles it. Nothing shall offend them. We get offended about everything. We leave our church over everything. Because we have all these false prophets and false prophetesses who are prophesying and giving us all kinds of akwanchere and gbeye revelation and words that are not in line with scripture. Somebody say action. They don't give you any position in action. Here, when you come, we'll make you an elder. We'll give you a position. We'll put you on our board. Here, we don't make people elders and put anybody on our board because of your position in society or how much you contribute to the church. You can give us $1 million. You still sit where you are sitting. Those who are sitting here are not sitting here because they give money. They are sitting here because they have a responsibility to serve. They are servants. They are serving. And anybody we give position in this house, they end it. It's not by who they are in society or where they sit or where they stand. I don't care who you are. You can be whatever. You come here, you sit where everybody sits and hear the word of God. In the kingdom of God, we are all brethren. We are all nyamime and nyanumu. But there are churches you go, they'll put you in a position right now and make you an elder. Put you over a committee, chairman, chairwoman, this, that, to tie you down. All those things will be tested by fire. All those things will go through fire. How you grow your church, how you increase your attendance, how you acquired and you made all those money and that fame, it will all be tested by fire. So me, when I hear, they say, this church is doing well, that people, they are doing this, people are going there, I just keep quiet. Because a day is coming when it shall all be revealed by fire. And whatever was under that church, whatever you were using to grow your church, whatever spell you were casting to draw the people, whatever aquantire you were using to grow your church, will all be tested by fire. It is that day we will know whose work will stand the fire or not. As for today, everybody is making noise and shouting. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.
Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
You see, this scripture is for those who miss the rapture. It's for those who don't make the rapture. They will die. They will be killed for rejecting to take the mark of the beast. And God said, you will have to be faithful unto death, because they'll kill you. For my name's sake, they'll kill you. But if you are not afraid to die, and you are killed for my name's sake, I will give you the crown of life. And it will happen to some. It doesn't matter how much I preach it. There are some who will not make the rapture. For whatever reason, they will make it. Because they love their flesh. They love themselves. And they love the people who prophesy to them, that they say, don't mind that archbishop. How correct is he himself? They will say all kinds of things. But it's my responsibility to say it. Because as I preach it to you, I'm preaching to myself. None of us are above the scriptures. We are all subject to the word. Messi me down. Wabotan so. Sit down, sit down. Metumibu. Messi. Namini. Jesus. Messi me down. Insuritwa minsuro ehuritu matumetu oginie masimira wabotansu minuye namini Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:8.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness.
There is a crown called the crown of righteousness. It's not the crown of life. This is the crown of righteousness. And it belongs to us. Go ahead.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only.
And not to me only.
But unto all them also that love is appearing.
You see the condition for getting the crown of righteousness. That's why I'm teaching it. All those who love his appearance. You can't love his appearance if you are not aware of his coming. And that's why I'm teaching you. Those who will miss the rapture are those who don't love his appearance. Because they haven't prepared. They don't desire his appearance. They are not in anticipation of his appearance. They are living anyway, anyhow. They are living like ordinary human beings. They despise the word of God. They despise the voice and the promptings and the warning of the Holy Ghost. They live their life. They do what pleases them. They are masters of their life. No humility. No humility whatsoever. This crown is for those who love his appearance and pray and say, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Those who don't have their eyes or their confidence or hope on any material achievement they have on this earth, but their hope and confidence and their eyes is on Jesus, and they cry and they say, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We are not ready for his coming, oh, because business is booming. We are very connected. Things are happening. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. On the ground. He's sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is beyond nothing but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust that sweetest faith. My only lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the Son, the rock I stand on. The ground is sinking sand. On the ground. Please be seated. You know, Watchman Nee, a man of God from China, was traveling in 1940, in the 40s, to Great Britain. And during that time, he heard that the Prime Minister of Great Britain had visited Hitler in Munich, and I've had a deal with Hitler, cut a deal, and that Hitler had promised that Great Britain will not be attacked. So he came back and made the announcement, and the people in Great Britain were very happy and excited that they weren't going to be attacked, even though every nation in Europe was being attacked by Hitler. And he said, whether Britain was attacked or not, it really didn't bother him because he was in transit. He was passing through Britain to China. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot will happen in this world. When you turn on the news, you will hear things that will disturb your mind and your peace and your heart. But let me tell you something. It's not going to get any better. I'm telling you. That's why the Antichrist will come on the scene and promise the world peace for 3.5 years. Because it's never going to get any better. Jesus said, in me, you shall have peace. But in the world, you shall have tribulation, troubles. It's not going to get any better. Don't be fooled. No political party, no president of the free world or any world guarantees peace. Peace is a personality. His name is the Prince of Peace. And until we bring him into the equation of the governance of our nation, we will never know peace. Put your hands together. Shout yes. They can talk about peace and peace and peace. They will never know peace. There are nations that are suffering. And, you know, I'm human and I feel for them when I see kids. And I see especially women suffering and fathers. It breaks my heart. But I'm telling you that there are strange prophecies. I was showing some of them a few days ago to some of my bishops. Specific scriptures that I would destroy Damascus, says the Lord, and it will not exist anymore. And I was showing them scriptures that these are prophecies that were prophesied years ago, and things are happening. And it doesn't matter how much United Nations or the United States of America try to police anything. America can't save the world. America is not a savior. It can't save the world. They should save themselves. Because the world is not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse out there. But it's going to get better and better and better in here. In Christ. He said, in me you shall have peace. But in the world you shall have tribulation. You know, I was talking to some people the other day, and I said to them, I said, everything all of you are saying is based on the perspective of knowledge, which is acquired by going to school. And the best of schools or the educational systems of this world can only give you knowledge. And I said, you are all limited and confused and restricted and can't understand how President Trump became president, because you are dealing with knowledge, and knowledge is restricted and is limited. And I said, let me talk to you from the perspective of wisdom. And I said, wisdom is not the acquisition of information. Wisdom is only given by God. And God give wisdom to those who humble themselves and acknowledge him as God. Those are the people who receive wisdom. You can attend every educational institution of this world and lack wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And he only gives it to those who bow their knee, humble themselves, and realize that knowledge is restricted. Because wisdom is the ability to use knowledge intelligently and wisely. So you can have knowledge, but if you lack wisdom, you can't apply knowledge. So when I see people educated and they are bluffing and they are talking big English, bravo, I sit there and look at them, and yet they lack wisdom. I pity you. And they talk rubbish, they talk nonsense. You talk to them about the gospel and they are saying logic, they are talking logic, philosophy. When we are operating on a higher frequency. And God has made it that way. God intentionally made it that way to limit man. He said, I will make divineness mad. And he said, I will use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise who think they have knowledge. And he said, I will turn their knowledge into foolishness. Hey, tell somebody, take it easy, take it easy. I know you've been to Yale and you went to Princeton and Harvard and Oxford and Cambridge. You've been to the best of schools. You have all the degrees and doctorate and masters. You've studied. Thank you. I respect you. But you are still limited. Until you have wisdom, you are nothing. All is vanity. I've seen people with knowledge confused. And that is what is happening in America. People are confused. For the first time, they can't predict what is going on and what will happen tomorrow. The foundations of people are being shaken. Nations are being shaken. Leaders don't know what to do. Leaders are confused. Everything is becoming unpredictable. What used to make sense don't make sense anymore. Now we will see. See, I hear you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4.
And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
The crown of glory that fadeth not away. Church, there is a crown of glory, and my eyes are on it. My eyes are on it. I don't know about you, but there is a crown of glory. There's a crown. If you think I'm just serving God because I love you, you are joking. I love Jesus. I love you, but I love Jesus more than you. And I'm expecting some crowns. So you sit there and serve anyway, anyhow. It's your business. My hands are free from every man's blood. Because I'm telling you, and after you finish hearing, you are responsible of what you've heard. I have delivered my message. What you do with it is your business. Go ahead.
Yeah, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Amen. Isaiah 28, verse 5.
In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory.
In that day, again?
In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory.
He said, I will be your crown of glory. Hey, folks, we must look forward to it because it's going to happen. He said, I will be, there is a crown of glory. And the great shepherd of the sheep will give it to us on his appearance. Must look forward for it. 1 Thessalonians 2:19.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing.
Of crown of rejoicing. There's another crown called the crown of rejoicing. Go ahead.
Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?
Are you not ye? It means you. You are my souls. You are my crown of rejoicing. The souls you have won will give you the crown of rejoicing in the presence of our Lord. When he comes and you see them, they made it and they are standing in the presence of the Lord. That is your crown of rejoicing. They will give you a crown of rejoicing when you see them make it. That's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. Because I want to see you on that day in his presence as part of my crowns of rejoicing that you made it. Put your hands together if you are looking forward to that day. This is not because you are going to die or I'm going to die. I'm not going anywhere. You are not going anywhere. But it's to get you ready and it's to get you to live here with eternity in mind. That everything you are doing, you must not forget that you are in transit. So live as one who is in transit going somewhere. And don't let the things of this world bewitch you or deceive you or entice you. Don't let your confidence be in anything in this world. Nothing. Nothing. Because time changes. I said what? Oh, yeah. Emergency, sir. When those of you think you have access, you know, when there's a change of power, some people who were nothing, suddenly they become somebody. They're looking down everybody and they think they have all this power and they are going to settle scores and they show some people. They're going to show that they got power. Hey, take it easy. Easy. Power has expiry date. Take it easy. They start having attitude. Won't return the calls of certain people who are their friends. They start treating people anyhow. Even when you try to reach them, they think you are trying to reach them because you want something from them or you need some favor from them because they are now very important and because it's now their turn and they have access and they have influence. I pity you. I'm telling you. Time changes. You see, during the time of Professor Mills, there were certain people who were so powerful and so arrogant. And I dealt with some of them. And I love Professor Mills. He was a good man. And I wish he didn't go prematurely. But it is what it is. And when he left the scene, certain people who were so powerful because of him, they were only relevant because of him. When they left the scene, suddenly it was like they were stripped naked. And they became human beings again. Tell somebody, take it easy. Tell somebody, I know you are connected. Tell somebody, I know you are connected. I know you are in there. But take it easy. Because the arm of flesh shall fail you. Are you hearing me? Time changes. You know, I want Senator Jewel to stand. Jewel, stand. You see, she's my spiritual daughter. She was the first lady of Liberia. She's a senator. She's running as vice president of one of the parties. She was the wife of President Taylor, Charles Taylor. She was my daughter then, and she's still my daughter. You hear me? And if you talk about time changes, access, she will tell you. Sit down, girl. Thank you. She'll tell you. First lady. She was everywhere. First lady, everywhere. I used to see her in America. I saw her in places. Went to the Queen of England. She's been to places. You talk about power and talk about going places. First lady, she's been there. She's been there. So take it easy. Treat human beings as human beings. Take it easy. Calm down. Because time changes. Oh. Those of you who are madam, you talk to your drivers anyway. Because your madam, hey, driver, take it easy. Because time changed. I told my children, since they were kids up to now, they call my driver Uncle Francis. Up to now, they married, have children, they call him Uncle Francis. And I said, nobody dare calls him Francis or a driver. He's Uncle Francis. That is the rule. Because you think he's just a driver? He has driven me more than 30 years. How dare you call him driver? How dare you call him Francis? You call him uncle. You show some respect because time changes. Some of you, you talk to your cook anyway, anyhow. Talk to your houseboy without any grace. There is no grace in you. There's no humility in you because you are madam, because you are the boss. You know, I'll tell you something of a preacher I preached for. I prophesied to him years ago in Nigeria. I went to preach for a friend of mine in Victoria Island. He's going to be with the Lord. And when I came from his church, I met a young lawyer in the foyer of the hotel. And when I saw him, the Lord said to me, prophesy unto him that you are a chosen vessel for the end time harvest. Resign your job as an attorney and go into ministry. He fought that prophecy for 2 years, Tunde Bakare. And after 2 years, he resigned when God spoke to him that if you don't give up your business and work for me, I will embarrass you. And he established his church. I was told of a true story that years before he became an attorney, he was working in London. I can't remember the hotel. I think it was the hotel where I stayed, to be corrected. I'll find out. However, he used to work at this hotel, and the director of a particular department he worked under, he made a mistake, and the guy slapped him. As an African boy from the Mandingo land, slapped him. Years after, he became an attorney, started doing business, and went and stayed in that same hotel in the presidential suite. Then he ordered room service. When he ordered room service, do you know who brought the room service to the presidential hotel? The guy who slapped him. And the guy didn't recognize him. So when he had set the table and everything and said, enjoy your meal, then he called the name of the guy, and the guy turned and looked at him. He said, who are you? How did you know my name? And he said, I am Tunde. He said, you are what? He said, I am Tunde Bakare. His knees began to shake. It was like he wanted the earth to open for him to disappear. Look at me. Look at me. Be careful, because you don't know who somebody will become tomorrow. And you don't know who you will need. You may not need me today. You may not need me today. But one of these days, you will need me. One of these days, you will need me. Treat people as people. Treat them with some respect. Treat them as human beings. Because you don't know when you will need them. What kind of anointing was that? Amen? Crown of rejoicing. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, please.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things.
Is what?
Temperate in all things.
Temperate in all things. Temperate. Restrain. Self-control. Restrain. Self-control. Watching your attitude. Taking heed to how you express your emotions and how you deal with the brethren. Temperate. Self-control. Mastering. Restraining yourself. Go ahead.
Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
There is a crown called an incorruptible crown. and is given to those who learn temperate. Restrain yourself. You know, there are so many things that don't matter to me anymore. You know, Rosa will tell you, lots of opportunities, Some of them people will call us, oh, this has to be in the news, you know. It has to be known. Even going to pray with President Trump, I didn't tweet it. I didn't put it down there. She'll tell you, we didn't touch it. It was the Vice President of America himself who tweeted it. I didn't touch it. I didn't even want anybody to know. I don't need that kind of publicity. It doesn't matter anymore. It does not matter anymore. You come to a place where if you have eternity in mind, there are things that don't impress you anymore. You know, when I was a young preacher, I used to be impressed by a lot of things. These days, a lot of things don't impress me. She will tell you, we deal with some very, very, very powerful, connected people. It will shock you that we know some people. But we just take it easy, cool. And I know some preachers, if they have half and quarter of the connections I have internationally, nobody will go to bed. Nobody will sleep. I'm telling you. You go to the airport here. There are times where private jets land here to just come and see me to pray and go back. And I travel with private jets and nobody knows it. They just come and park here. I get on board and the security people will be looking at me and say, hey, Charlie, how is it? And I'm just easy. And I come back and land. And I have some old friends when I used to do Goro at the airport. They come around security and say, leave them alone. These are friends of mine. I used to be here with them. Leave them alone. And some of them will say, Nikki. Hey, Nikki. And I tell them, stop all that Nikki, and come to church. God has taken the foolish things of this world, like me, to confound the wise. You know why? You know why some of you, God can't use you? Because you are too smart. You are too intellectually brilliant and sophisticated. You have too much abilities. God doesn't use people with ability. He uses people who are available because he has every ability and power. If you are available, he will give you ability. So stop telling me, I can do this, I can do that. God is not interested in what you can do. He's interested in what he can do through you. Amen. Do you receive it? Amen. Revelation 3:11. And let's close on Wednesday. I'll be dealing with the seven rewards. Seven eternal rewards of the believer on Wednesday.
Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
That no man take your salvation. Is he talking about your salvation? No, but what?
Your crown.
Listen, you have a crown. Tell two people you have a crown. Oh. Tell two people, touch them. Tell them you have a crown. Baby, you got a crown. You know what I'm saying, girl? You got a crown, girl. Bishop, you have a crown. Hold fast onto what you have. That no man what? It means that your crown can go to somebody else. Are you hearing me? Listen, it's not guaranteed though. It can switch. It can go to somebody else if you don't hold fast with humility. And stop all this JJT and Aisem. Stop it. And humble yourself. Stand on your feet.